Praise the Lord. It's so unique situation we are in, and a very important one, I believe, for our nation and for our people across the nation. And we read in the scripture that we, as believers, have an amazing benefit of having God as our Father. I'd like you to turn with me to a few portions. The first is Matthew chapter 22. Verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The key thing in life is love. The love of God, God loving us first. We, in our nature, you think of when I'm sleeping, I don't have any activity, I don't have an attitude, I am unconscious and I'm sleeping, but I'm a sinner as I'm sleeping. My very nature is one of sin. When I wake up, I have attitude and action. And this is called sin. Sin in my attitude of anger or revenge, Matthew 5:22, or lust in Matthew 5:28. And so being convicted of that and realizing the need being convicted and realizing the need for God. I need God. This conviction happens by the Spirit in John 16, verse 8. And the Holy Spirit draws us to Christ. We are born again by believing in Him, and we are given a new nature, 2 Peter 1. In verse 4, that new nature loves God. We love God because we are born of God. We have the seed of Christ in us. 1 John 3:9. Christ does not sin. Our new nature does not sin. And now we are born to love. When we live in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Three important words. We'll speak about it this morning. Love, joy, peace. In our nature, we, even without an expression, by an action, there is an attitude. And even without the even asleep, we have a new nature that God has pleasure in. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, then a voice came from heaven, Behold my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wow. Finally, there is a person in the world that God has pleasure in. Why hasn't he had pleasure in other people? Because of the sin nature that contradicts him. Because God is so deep and is so interested in knowing, and he is so caring about who we are on a deep level. The deep calls to the deep in Psalm 42 and verse 7. He wants to know what is in our hearts. And of course, he knows it. Because he is God. And he is the one that says to us that we need love. Love is what is needed in life. Love is what is needed in my present situation. Love is what is needed in my life all the time. And we read about what love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we'll turn and read a few verses there. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity, or love, the King James has the word charity. It's in the Greek, agape, agape. It suffers, endures long. Long time, love, love. In the last weeks, we've been teaching here about worship, and we said that people generally live in their feelings, and they also live in reason. And this world of feeling and reason is something like a box, and we can draw it here on our diagram. That people live in the limitations of their natural life by their feelings and their reasoning. But Jesus came into the world to show us love. That Jesus came into this world to walk and speak and live and sleep and reveal the nature of God. He is bigger than the box, and he wants to show us that life is bigger than our world, that limits our world, limits our life, limits our thinking, our feelings, limits our relationships. Now we are home more than we were a week or 2 weeks ago, and children are home all around our feet. Finances are a concern. There's the constant news going on and reporting. And overall, we're in good shape, I feel. But even in a good situation, I'm able to worry or fear because there's something I need to be exercised in and understand. Paul said, he wrote this chapter, and he lists 16 things about love. He said, it is kind. Love does not envy, does not exalt itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, what a good word, not easily provoked, thinks no evil. It might even seem like this list is way beyond myself, but it isn't. This is the Spirit of God that dwells in you. This is the fellowship with God, the first commandment and the great commandment. We could say the key to life, the key that changes my world is love, God's love, the Spirit of God, not human loves, but the Spirit of God, the worship of God, the knowing God, the fellowship with God, the truth of God. There it is. That's it. Verse 6, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It never fails, in verse 8. I see that happening amongst us on the phone and the connection that we have with each other. We have the Spirit of God, the care that we have for missionaries abroad, Dan Dunbar, Chris Harmon, Matt Sliva. Think of the Robbinses, the Langes. Think of Donna Parsons, the Moons, Pastor Stan Collins. To think of our brothers and sisters in Europe, the team members, Pivi Toskinen, the many people that are living in various places, and the Spirit of God in us and what we are capable of. We are able to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things, and it never fails. But Paul says in this chapter, in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. One of our conventions, I think it was last June, I shared a message and drew a picture similar to the one that I'm doing now. And I want to repeat it and give two examples of, I believe, two examples of how men of God can be children. Two examples of how men of God in the Bible can be in a very small world. Two examples of how easy it is for us that are in the ministry and you at home. Absolutely, we can take our situation and reduce it to something and see it through the eyes of a child, which is not a good thing. When I was a child, I thought as one. Doesn't it say in verse 11? I understood and thought. So I'll write these two words here. Understood as a child and thought as a child. Children fear. Children imagine. Children can panic. Children are in their playground, in their little area, in their little bedroom with their teddy bear. Their world is their room. Children are not mature. You cannot expect a child to fly an airplane. You cannot expect a child to make a major adult decision. You cannot expect a child to deny himself. You cannot expect a child to grasp the bigger picture. You cannot expect a child to understand what is really going on. But the Apostle Paul was in many situations where his life could be reduced to something small and say, God does not love me. I am in prison for 8 years total, many different times, but at least 8 years in a prison, my world. And he could say, God does not love me. He's punishing me. Where is God? And he could take the beatings that he had received, the bloodshed. He could say regarding the guilt that he had because of persecuting Christians and martyring Stephen. He could have thought as a child and understood as a child. And that happens. Then you say, where is the love in this picture? Where is the love? You love me, a child will say. You love me. Like, what do you have to give me? Help me. Give to me. Care for me. I need a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I need help me. And we understand that. A child is a child. But you can't have a child continually be a child. They are to grow up. And Paul said, when I became a man, I what does he say here? He said, I put away childish things. I put away something. And this can happen to you and I, that we can learn to put away the childish things. And this is why we have this incredible, this spiritual life that we treasure so much amongst us as believers. We may not be geographically close at the moment, but we are spiritually connected. We may not be sitting in the same room, but we have the same mind. We may be socially distant from each other, but spiritually one. That we may not understand all that is happening, but we put away childish things and grow up and realize that there's a big picture that is going on. Let me just draw it like this. Here is a bigger picture that is needed for us. And this is God's work of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. I think of a dad and a mom raising a family, or a single mom, God bless you, or a single dad, and you're raising a family, and your world can shrink, and the children are frustrated, or there's argument, or there's not a nice atmosphere around in the home. And as the head of the house, I would like to bring love. I would like I don't want to lose sight of the big picture. I want my family. I want my kids to be secure. I want my children to be loved. I can be frustrated at home, especially with them running around and wait until the school, and they've got to do everything at home, and all the schooling at home, and all, and the food, and the cleaning up, and many things that can challenge my everyday life in my new circumstances. But the greatest commandment, the great one that changes lives, that great one, the Savior came into the world and he showed us a love that never fails, that believes, bears, rejoices in truth. Worship becomes a major part of your life when you and I mature as believers. We're unloading our childish things at the cross, and we're being spirit-filled, that the Spirit is showing me something, and I want to realize, what is God doing? And yet my world can shrink, and it can expand, and it can shrink again, and then I realize it, I make my confession, I draw close to God, and I realize what love is. I want to know who God is. I want to bring it into my family. I want to have it in my church. I want to bring it into my marriage. I want to have it with my friends. I want to build relationships that will endure a hurricanes of life, because love never fails. The two examples, the first one is Jonah. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Jonah as we look at these two. So, it's great to be here and online. Yeah, I miss the fellowship with face-to-face, but I've got a good group down here of four people, and they're a great group, those that sang in the service. And let's draw the picture of Jonah. Jonah was, in a way, a child. He was asked to go to Nineveh and prophesy. I want to say, after reading the book many, many times, that I've seen it in many ways, that Jonah was a prophet. He was a prophet of God. He was a prophet of God. And I'm not a critic of him in one sense. He's way above and beyond anything that maybe we are or ever would be. I don't know. I realize this about life. We are not judges of people, Matthew 7, 1 and 2. And be very critical, very sensitive not to be critical of God's people and God's work. That being said, he ran away from his calling. He ran away. God put him in the fish. He ends up on the shore, goes up to the city, and preaches for 3 days, and the people repent. I want to say that the work of God was something like this. This is God's work. It was a lot bigger than Jonah. God did it. The city repented. God did it. Jonah's message was not that great in the city. Judgment of God. But they feared God. They changed. They repented. And it worked. But Jonah couldn't see it. Jonah was angry. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He was very angry. How could it be that a great work of God happens and I am angry about it? How could it be that church is amazing and then I, in my smallness, am angry about it? God said, Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Like, what's your problem? Don't you see what I have done? I want to relate this to our families. Do you realize that you have a family is a work of God? Do you realize you have sisters and brothers? You have a family, mom and dad and kids? Or a mom and kids, or a dad and kids, do you realize what a gift that is? That's beautiful. But I can be in some way angry. In our country now, with what is happening with the rules and regulations and so on, that is happening. And I realize that I'm accepting this as God's way for us, and it's a good message to us. It's a time out. It's a time for us to be tested. It's a time for in our hearts to draw near. It's a time for me to have my own personal church at home, have my own Bible at home, have my wife at home, my kids at home, have my quiet time at home, have my prayers at home, get on the telephone and encourage my sister and my brother in the faith. All the words that comes out of my mouth, I don't want to be talking about the news and what's happening in those natural levels. I want to see, what is God doing? God is speaking to our country. God is having mercy on us. God is saying something that is deep and personal in the hearts of people. Death. Death is at the door. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? Death is knocking. There's the four horsemen in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. That day is coming someday in the future. There'll be famine and pestilence and war, and large parts of the population will die. And we are being given a bit of mercy to say to the nation, there's a pandemic to the world, and what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? God is knocking on the door of your heart. What are you going to do about it? You have a need. It's not time for us to be in our smallness like Jonah in his smallness couldn't see what God was doing. He couldn't see it. He was angry. I could get angry with my family and lose my family. Lose my sons and daughters. I could get angry with my wife, lose my wife, lose my husband. I could get angry with my friends, lose them. I could get angry with my church, lose. I could get angry with my affiliation with the churches and lose my wonderful fellowship of love in my heart like Jonah did. But God had a way of dealing with Jonah that's the funniest little thing. I don't want to spend time. I just want to show you that he had a gourd grow up. I don't know, some kind of a plant. And Jonah got all occupied with it, fascinated with it. He got all liked the gourd. He got in his small world and in his little garden. God had a gourd grow up and he liked the gourd and so on. And then God had a worm come in and eat the gourd. And Jonah was so angry and so sad about it. And God said, Jonah, your little world, a gourd, are you kidding me? The grass in your yard, your automobile, there is some small detail, your new shoes, your haircut, whatever it might be, your small world, like something small, because you can't handle life, because life is about love. Life is about the greatest commandment is love. Love, the loving God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. What does this mean? Missions. What does it mean? Worship. What does it mean? Others. What does it mean? Let's pray for our medical workers, our hospitals. Let's pray that God will take the plague and pluck it up and cast it into the sea. Let's pray for others. Let's be aware in our neighborhood of what is happening. Let's be sharing the message of Christ on the street. We've been doing that the last few days, and people are very open and receptive, and it's very encouraging to have a deep... Actually, I was with a man in the parking lot, and we had maybe 20 minutes. I said, why don't you need to go somewhere? He said, I got nowhere to go right now. I got time. And we had a deep, good talk together. Beautiful. Let's finish up now. Go to John chapter 21. Peter has denied the Lord. Undoubtedly, in a way, Peter, immature, learning, growing, a disciple of 3 years at the cross, denied the Lord as an example for us, realizing that I could do this also, how easy it would be to be drawn back into my world, you know, as I am. Here's Jesus. Jesus' work. Jesus' nature. Jesus' life. Here's Peter. And he meets Jesus, and Jesus said, do you love me? The word agape is there. Do you love me? And Peter says, you know that I love you. And he uses the word phileo. The Greek writers use that word. Phileo, love, I love you. We understand this. But Peter, do you realize what is happening? Christ has been raised from the dead. He's giving you a ministry. He's telling you to feed the sheep. You're going to be growing in your faith. You're going to be increasing in your faith. But in this exchange, there was three times they said that Jesus said this to him, do you love me? And Peter answered. And then we see here that Jesus prophesied in verse 18. I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself, walked where you would. But when you will be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and others shall gird you and carry you whither you wouldest not. You're going to go beyond yourself. You're going to go beyond yourself. Peter, you're going to go beyond yourself. You won't even realize. You're going to go beyond yourself. I love you. you love me, and you're going to be stretching out your arms, speaking of his death on the cross. He's also going to be girded, he used that word in his epistle, girding up the loins of your mind. Peter's going to be maturing in his theology and understanding of what is happening, who Christ is and who what the church is, and he's going to be increasing. And then he says here, verse 20, then Peter, turning about, see the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? You put it here, you know, what shall this man do? Is there a little bit of envy? Is there a little bit of jealousy? Is there a little insecurity in Peter? Is Peter comparing himself with John? What shall this man do? You know, in the ministry, the greatest thing that we can do to make progress in God is to grow up in love. The greatest thing we can do for our family is to grow up in love. The best thing we could do for our marriage is to grow up in love. And the greatest thing we can do in our country is to grow up in love. What we can do in reaching people in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ is to increase and grow up in love. That is what God promised us in the body of Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, with an increase in love. We speak the truth in love. We grow up in love. But we have to also say there's a tendency to go to our childhood and to be hurt and wounded and kind of draw back to a small world. But don't do it. Learn how to grow up in love. Stay connected. Grow up in grace. Learn how to minister to each other. Be wise. Be mature in your understanding. Increase in this amazing book that'll teach and guide us in God's mind and in God's ways. Okay. Amen. Failure, frustration, and fear happens to children a lot. When we fail, let's confess and live beyond our failure. When we're frustrated, let's stop and be quiet and give it to God and ask Him for guidance in the Spirit. When we fear, when we're angry like Jonah, when we're insecure like Peter, let's keep our eyes on that love and know that that love will make me a man. That love will make me a woman of God. That love will make me a teenager for God. That love, and I think of a child. Sometimes children become very mature because they learn love. They do excellent. Children sometimes are more mature than adults in their attitude and their way of response. And that's a beautiful thing. That's our message today. God bless you. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ and your love, that you loved us, that you sent your Son. This love is in our hearts and is shed abroad out of our hearts in Romans 5 and verse 5. We're learning to think with love. We're learning to make decisions with love and even speak with our tongue guided by your love. Lord, we pray for the work of your grace in churches everywhere through our country and around the world. And lead us in this maturity and teach us to forgive others because of love. Teach us to speak edifying words because of love. Teach us to grow up and rejoice when Nineveh is changed, that we would see it and rejoice in it. Open our eyes and our hearts to it in your name, we pray. Amen. If you're not a believer and you're listening, please say in your heart to Jesus, I believe. Would you come to Jesus today and believe in him with all your heart? Trust him and say to God, I need you. Save me. I need you. You have the promise of eternal life. You forgive me of my sins. You put my name in the book of life. The Bible says so. The Bible says so. The Bible says you must be born again. The Bible says so. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be born again. You must be born by believing in Jesus. You must be born again. Believe in Jesus in your heart. He will show you. He will speak to you. He will show that to you. Read the Bible. Learn the Bible. God will speak to you from the Bible. And live by faith in what the Bible says. God will change your life. He'll take drugs away, bad habits away. He'll take away the childishness, take away the selfishness. He'll build you up in who he is. He'll change your life. Believe in him personally. In his name, pray. Amen.